Let's again seek the Lord in prayer before we turn to the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, again in our Saviour's name we come to thee. We thank thee for help given, as we have already been seeking thee in prayer and singing thy praises and reading thy holy word. And Lord, we come now to the preaching forth of thy truth. And again I ask for that infilling of thy Spirit. Lord, I beseech thee for that unction, that heavenly unction, that unction that cometh alone from thee, so that the word and the gospel this night will go forth in the very power of God, that there will indeed be signs following the preaching of thy word this night. We again plead the blood. We ask for the covering of the atoning blood of God's Lamb. And I ask too for that blood-bought liberty in the preaching forth of thy word just now. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ are undoubtedly true words. As the one who is the mediator of the new covenant and who executes the office of the prophet, the Lord Jesus spoke those words that were given to him by the Father. He himself, you remember, said, "I am the way and the truth." He was undoubtedly truth personified. And as he conducted his earthly ministry, he spoke forth, indeed he preached, the very word of God. And as the words went forth from his lips to the ears of those who were listening, to some of them, they appeared to be very strange words indeed. We have many, many instances recorded in the scriptures of the Lord Jesus speaking forth the very word of truth. And to those who were within earshot, to those who were within hearing, their response was not to receive that word. Rather, their response was to resent even the one who brought the word and to reject from their hearts the very word that he brought. We could think, just by way of example, of what we have recorded in John chapter 6, and there as the Saviour was speaking forth the very word of God in the verse 50, it's clear that they didn't like what he was saying. In fact, they described it as an hard saying. They were, if you like, repulsed in their hearts by the very words that the Saviour spoke to them. The real problem, of course, was not the word that they heard. The real problem was in their own hearts. And we turn to our text tonight in this 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel to consider some words that the Saviour spoke. Words that are of a very, very searching nature. And I refer to what we have in verse 23 of Luke chapter 11, where the Saviour spoke these words: "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." It's to these words that I want to draw your attention for just a little while. And as we come to consider them, the first thing I want you to understand is the circumstances in which these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. From the context of our text here in Luke 11, it's clear that there was a very great company of people that had gathered. When we come to the verse 1 of Luke 11, we read, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So in this great company, there were his own disciples. And in the verses that follow from verse 1, we discover that the Saviour is giving instruction with respect to the matter of prayer. Then as you follow on down in the chapter, you find that he performs a miracle. A miracle on someone who was possessed of a demon. That meant that the individual was speechless. And in verse 14, the word is recorded like this, "And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered." And the word that's translated "people" there is that word which indicates a large multitude. A large gathering of people were here. There were crowds of people here, and they witnessed the Savior perform this miracle. But read on, the very next verse. "But some of them," that is in this great crowd, "some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils." So, who do we have in the crowd here? Well, we've seen that there are some of the Lord's disciples there in this vast crowd. And certainly there are those, and while they have witnessed the miracle that was performed, nevertheless, they are certainly against the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracle that they witnessed didn't in any way convince them of his great power, that he was indeed God manifest in the flesh. Now, they were unable to deny that the miracle had happened. They were unable to deny that the miracle had taken place. But we find that we could describe the people here really as some of his avowed enemies, who were against the Savior. They were also in this great gathering, this great company of people. We had those who were very, very skeptical. Oh yes, they were in this great company as well. We find that they say in verse 16, "And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven." So they were somewhat skeptical in their hearts and minds about the miracle that the Savior had performed, and the words that they had heard that fell from his lips. And so they're saying, well, we need something more. You'll have to show us something more than this. In fact, why don't you show us a sign from heaven? So perhaps the best description that we could give of these individuals in this great gathering of people was simply this, that they were skeptics. Yes, they had to acknowledge the supernatural in the miracle that the Savior performed, but that's just not enough for them. They are saying, we need and we want something more. Then as you follow down in this chapter, you find that there's others in this great company of people. In fact, let's jump down to verse 27. "And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company," again indicating a great crowd of people, "a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Those that hear the word and obey it. You might say, well, what's the point that you're trying to make, preacher? Well, the point that I'm wanting you to grasp is this. Here is this great gathering of people, and we have seen that there are those who we could describe as his disciples. Amongst them there are those who are the avowed enemies of the Lord Jesus. There are some, and they could be described as just being very, very skeptical of all that has taken place, all that they have witnessed, all that they have heard. And obviously even this woman here, and she had words of praise for the one who bore the Lord Jesus into the world. The point that I want you to see is this, that in these circumstances, to this great crowd of people, the Savior speaks the words of our text. "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." So how does the Lord view this great company? This great crowd that had assembled. How does he see them? Well, from these words in our text, he's making it very plain that in reality, he only sees two classes of people. He only sees two groups of people. In fact, as you read the verses here in the context of our text in Luke 11, he does speak about two kingdoms. He speaks about the kingdom of the devil, and he also speaks about the kingdom of God. So just as there are only two kingdoms, he's saying to this people to whom he's speaking these words, you are really just in one of two positions. You're either with me or you're against me. Just two positions. It's an either or situation. There's just two categories. Those who are with me and those who are against me. And so it is in this congregation tonight. There are those who are with the Lord, and there are those who are against him. We might place ourselves into various other categories. We might have other descriptive titles. But when the Lord looks down upon us, as he viewed that vast gathering, so as he looks upon this congregation this evening, he sees those who are for the Lord, those who are against the Lord. You see, it's impossible to have any other category. Would anyone disagree if I were to say this to you? In this meeting, there are only those who are male or those who are female. There isn't another gender grouping. There isn't another gender class. And that's really the point that the Savior is making here, and that's why he's speaking these words forth. These are the circumstances that prevail when he's speaking forth these words. You see, there aren't really any neutral persons. There aren't any neutral persons, and that's what the Savior is saying. That's what he said to the crowd on this occasion. That's what he's saying to our hearts tonight in this meeting. You're either with me, for me, or you are against me. Can I make it even clearer? Suppose that we draw a line down the aisle tonight, and I say those who are male stand on one side, those who are female stand on the other side of the line, and those who are of no gender stand on the line. There wouldn't be any standing on the line. You'd either be on one side or the other. That's the point that the Savior is making. He that is not with me or for me is against me. Well, that's the circumstances. But we need to come and look at the connection of these words in our text, because there is a connection. And the words that the Savior speaks, the connection is with himself. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. So there's no neutrality with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ as we think about his person and as we think about his work. It's impossible to take up a neutral position. That's what our text is saying, and this is the connection of these words. Let's just think about his person, because he speaks of his person here. He that is not with me is against me. You'll notice the use of the little word that's a preposition here. He that is not with me. That's just a little word. It's a preposition. It's a very important little word. It really has a literal meaning of alongside of or in company of. He that is not alongside me, he that is not in company of me, he that is not alongside me, he that has not cast his lot in with me, he hasn't attached himself to me. the Savior says, that person is against me. So where do you stand in relationship to the person of Christ? That's the challenge. That's the challenge to all our hearts. Where do we stand in relationship to the Lord? There can be no neutrality with regard to his person. Now think of the crowd here. Some in the crowd, and we've seen what some in the crowd were saying. But maybe there would have been those who would have put forth this kind of an argument. Well, we're for you. We're for you enough to come and hear your words. We're for you enough to come and see your miracles. Aye, and we're for you enough to even marvel at what you've done and what you are doing. Are you not making the distinction just a little too sharp when you say, he that is not with me is against me? You're telling us that we're either holy, unreservedly attached to you, or else we are actively opposing you. We are actively against you. That's exactly what the Savior said. That's exactly what he said in those words that we're considering. The Lord had said that. Whether they were really conscious of what he said or not as to the meaning of it, or maybe they would even have questioned the reality of it, but that didn't change the words. That didn't change the words for a moment. The very words that the Savior spoke in their hearing, he that is not with me is against me. Because you see, who is it that determines reality? Do we determine what is reality? Of course not. The one who determines what reality is the Lord himself. The Lord determines reality. Can we put it this way? The word of the Lord certainly determines reality. And it was this word of the Lord Jesus that was determining reality for this people who were gathered here on this occasion. And his word is clear, he that is not with me is against me. That's what the Savior said. So the determination of what is real or not wasn't according to their views, wasn't according to their feelings, wasn't according to what they thought. No, the Savior was making it clear, this is reality. If you're not with me, you are against me. And when he spoke these words, the Lord Jesus knew who he was in his own person, didn't he? He knew that he was none other than God, manifest in flesh. When we go back to an earlier chapter in Luke's Gospel, in fact, it's Luke chapter 10 and verse 22, he said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. What the Savior was saying there is this: only he who fully comprehends and knows the Father is himself. Because only God can know God. And Jesus Christ was one with the Father, sharing the very essence of deity. And so he's the one who can claim to give a saving revelation of the Father to the hearts of the people. He came from the Father. He was one with the Father, the unique Son of the Father, and therefore with God's authority. He says these words of our text, he that is not with me is against me. He manifested the credentials of prophet, priest, and king, didn't he? The prophet who would freely reveal the will of God. The priest who would make that sacrifice for sin. The king who would rule and subdue the rebel wills of sinners. And he claimed absolute trust in himself. Oh yes, he did. And these words are pointing to that here in our text. He that is not with me is against me. He claimed absolute trust in himself to be accepted with God. For if your trust is not in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're not acceptable to God. It's only those who have come to believe on the Lord Jesus that have a standing before God. That's why the Savior is speaking these words. They're in connection with himself. He that is not with me is against me. You remember how in John 8, verse 24, he says, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ claim the affection of the hearts of all who would follow him? All who would be for him? Oh, he did. He claimed the affections of their hearts. You remember how he expressed it? Perhaps in a way that for some it might be seeming strange, but nevertheless, they're the words of the Lord Jesus when he spoke in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. He put it like this. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, he wasn't saying that we should hate our father or our mother or members of our family. Far from it. But he was just simply expressing it like that we might understand that he claims total affection from our hearts. That was the message that he was setting forth. He claimed that implicit obedience. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, in the presence of such a person as the Lord Jesus Christ, there can be no neutrality. He is God. He is God. Maybe I'm speaking to someone in the meeting tonight and you're saying, well, I'm here in this meeting. Are you telling me that I'm against the Lord? Well, if you're not saved, you are. If you're not in Christ, you are. Listen again to the words of our text. He that is not with me is against me. Oh, but you say, I don't take his name in vain. Well, that's good that you don't. I would never say that he never came to this earth. I would never say that he's not worthy to be looked up to and respected. But you see, that's not the issue. That's not the issue. He makes claims that are absolute, and he has every right to make them because he is God. And he says, he that is not with me with regard to my person is against me. There can be no neutrality with regard to his person. That's the connection of these words with himself. Aye, and there can be no neutrality with regard to his own work. That's the latter part of our text. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. He's referring here to his work. This work of gathering. That's how he describes his own work. His own ministry. It's that ministry of gathering. Put it another way. It's that ministry of bringing together. We have the very same words in other places in the New Testament scriptures speaking of the gathering of the people, the bringing together of the people. And Christ's work is a work of gathering people to himself. That's the work of the Lord Jesus. And that's why he died on the cross, that there might be a people gathered to himself. Yes, he's exactly who he claimed to be. He did exactly what he said he would come to do, to seek and to save. And he claims absolute submission over those who would come. We cannot sort of half come to the Lord and say, well, you know, I can sort of maybe in some kind of half-hearted way come. Oh no, that's not what the Lord Jesus commands. That's not what he requires of you tonight. He requires of that wholehearted heart commitment to himself and acceptance of his work. You haven't done that as yet. You see, you haven't come to rest in his finished work. That work that he performed on behalf of sinners. That very work that he did for those who deserve nothing but hell itself. Who deserves hell? Everyone. Preacher included. Preacher included. Everyone. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. But yet he came that he might save us from our sins, that we would never experience the flames of a burning hell. And if you have never come to believe in him, you've never come to trust in him, then you are not one who has been gathered. You can't adopt the neutral position. He that is not with me is against me. And there are those in this very meeting tonight, and you can say, yes, well, I'm one of his gathered ones. You can't say that. I know you can, many of you. He gathered me. He gathered me to himself. And you are seeking, I trust, then, to see others gathered and brought in to the fold and family of the Lord as well. But you see, this is the connection of these words with his person and with his work, because you can't separate his person from his work. There are some who preach that. You don't really have to worry about the work that he wrought on the cross. Just come to Jesus. Well, I know there is the gospel invitation to come to the Savior, that's true. But you cannot come to the Savior and ignore the work that he did on your behalf and in your place. And that's involved in the words of our text. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Oh, you see, the words are connected with himself. What have you done with Christ? Have you trusted him? Have you believed on him? Have you come in repentance and faith to him? Are you in Christ? Are you in a saving union by faith with the Son of God? Because if you are, then you're not against the Lord, but if you're not, then you are against him. Well, that brings us then in the final place to think about the conclusion that we must draw from these words of our text. And what conclusions must we draw? Well, one or two conclusions at least. One is this: to be against the Lord is to be in league with the devil. It's just as stark as that. That's the reality. To be against the Lord is to be in league with the devil. Where there's no faith in Christ and no obedience to Christ, we have seen that the Lord Jesus then says, if you have no faith in me and you have no obedience to me, you're against me. And if you're against the Lord, you're in league with the devil. Think of it. You say, oh, but that couldn't be. Surely I'm not in league with the devil. Yes, you are, if you're against the Lord. Do you know whose kingdom you're still in? You're in the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness is the devil's kingdom. It is. It's the kingdom of the devil, where the prince of darkness rules. And you're not as yet in the kingdom of God. Maybe you in your heart are taking offense tonight at those words. Imagine someone telling me that I'm in league with the devil. Well, as someone unsaved and out of Christ, that's the only conclusion that we can draw from our text. You think of perhaps the argument that someone might put forth and say, well, I don't really see how I'm against Christ. I don't really think that I'm against the Lord. After all, I can more or less, you know, just sort of do my own thing. Well, that very argument is the essence of the spirit of Satan, the spirit of the devil. You think about it for a moment. The devil didn't want the rule of God over him, did he? He just wanted to do his own thing, didn't he? And that's why the devil joined in rebellion against God and was cast forth from the presence of God. That's what caused the fall in Eden. That's what caused the fall in Eden's garden. When Adam refused to be under the government and rule of his Creator and have his life governed by God's word, God's commandment. Isn't that so? So if you're not with Christ, you're not for Christ, you're against him. You remember how that the Apostle Paul was called by the Lord. He was Saul of Tarsus, and then the Lord saved him. Once he was against Christ, and then he came to trust in Christ and he became for Christ. You remember those words of testimony that we have concerning him over in the Acts of the Apostles? I'll read the verses to you. Acts chapter 26. Verse 15, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee to do what? To do this, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God." That was his ministry. He was to go forth with the gospel, and he did, as the great preacher, the great evangelist, the great missionary of the cross. And he was going forth with the word of the gospel to see eyes opened and people turned from darkness to light and brought from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So there's absolutely no doubt then, from what we have just said in the scriptures that we have just given to you, that to be against the Lord is to be in league with the devil. Because if you're not in Christ, you're under the devil's power. That's why your situation is so serious. Another conclusion that we can draw is this, that to be against the Lord Jesus is to be in the place of great danger. Great danger. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone in the meeting tonight and you may feel that you have had some kind of proximity with Christ. In this sense that you have heard the gospel, this is not the first time you have heard the gospel message. This is not the first time you have heard the words of Christ. This isn't perhaps the first time that you've ever been in a meeting where God's word has been going forth in your hearing. And maybe you have convinced yourself to some extent that you're all right, that you're safe enough, that you really don't have to make any preparation to meet God. You have those that you know are God's people around you. You think that you're in the place of safety. Well, there's no doubt that the people of God can be a tremendous influence for good. I'm not for one moment suggesting the opposite. But that will not put you in the place of safety if you're outside of Jesus Christ. Could it be that you have been self-deceived? Could it be tonight that you have engaged in some self-justification? Could it be I'm speaking to someone and really your life and your heart is full of self-righteousness? you're in such a place of danger. You're going to end up, if you do not come to Christ, you're going to end up in hell. What danger you're in. You see, to be against Christ, and this is the final conclusion that I'll speak of, to be against him is to be facing damnation in hell forever. I know it's not terribly popular to mention hell, to preach about hell, and yet the Lord Jesus, the one whose very words we're considering in this text tonight, he preached about hell. He warned the people about hell, that place of eternal burnings. And you're facing damnation in hell. If you die in your sins, you'll die against the Lord, and then you're going to hear words on that judgment day. Do you know what they will be? The words that you will hear from the judge of all the earth who will do right. Depart from me. Depart from me. Those are the words that you will hear. Those are terrible words for anyone to hear when God will speak to them and say, depart from me. Where? Depart where? Into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's why what we're speaking upon tonight is not to be taken in any flippant way or in any light manner. Where do you stand? You may never hear the gospel message again. I don't know. I'm not saying that you won't. But you see, you have no guarantee that you will. And what if you end up in hell after having listened to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where do you stand tonight? Are you for the Lord? Or are you against him? You can't be neutral. I want you to answer that question with judgment day honesty in your own heart. Am I for the Lord or am I against him? If I'm saved, I'm for him. I'm with him in that sense. If I'm not saved, I'm against him. Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you in Christ? Do you really know the Lord? Or do you just know about him? Make certain that you're in Christ. Come to the Savior and trust him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. And thy word is a most searching word. And thy word would search all our hearts this night. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. O Lord, we pray for any in the meeting who are against thee, because they are not for thee, that thou would so speak to their hearts that even this very moment they would know a breaking of their heart, they would know what it is to repent of their sin and to trust the Savior. O Lord, we cry to thee that thou wouldst do that work, for thou seest the hearts of all of us, thou knowest our hearts. There's not a thought that we can hide from thee. Oh, we cry to thee that thou wilt do that gracious work, that saving work, that thy kingdom would be extended in hearts in this very meeting tonight. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.